All right, everybody, episode 25. We made it to a quarter century.
Quarter century.
Ding, 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 ding. That's exciting. 25 episodes up, 25 episodes down, right?
It happened so fast.
I know. It did feel like it happened very fast.
Right.
So, good. What is the expression? Good things, time flies when you're having fun.
There you go.
Yeah, right. There you go. So, all right. Episode 25. Let's talk about, and we've kind of tickled the subject in the past before. So I thought it'd be fun to talk about maybe a little deeper dive on, things you love about your job. Right. I mean, we're pretty lucky guys. We work in the creative arena, right?
Right.
We do have a foot in kind of both worlds, though, being business owners as well, right?
So right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a creative job answer to the question, but what are some of the favorite things that you love about your job, Mr. Rob?
Mostly that I don't have to wear pants to work.
Okay. Well, it's very distracting for the rest of us in the office. Janice in HR is constantly, it's a struggle.
She's not happy.
Yeah.
No, I wear pants.
I know.
Yeah. So a lot of different things. I think I will echo, what you just said, which is we're fortunate to work in a fun, exciting, interesting industry.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, fortunate to own the company.
I mean, it's not always fun. I mean, we've worked in places where it hasn't been fun though, too. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just to make everyone's, you know, I mean, there is perspective in regards to, like, not every shop is as awesome as ours.
That's right. So, none of them are.
But hit me.
Yeah, so for me, I think, and I'll kind of throw back and give you a quick timeline, but I remember back in the mid-90s when I was in college at the University of Georgia, back-to-back national champions, go Dogs.
Go Jackets.
Studying, they're cute. The jackets are cute.
How many astronauts has Georgia Tech sent to them?
You know how I feel about space.
That's why I said that. Yeah.
So. And I remember, so I was studying English, and I always loved reading, writing, and the letters and the alphabet and all that good stuff. And, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do for a career. I know that my father had studied English and then gone on to practice law.
Yeah, lawyering.
The bankruptcy law.
Yeah, that's so intense.
Boy.
Yeah.
Dealing with broke people all the time.
So you weren't going to follow the family business?
I was not going to follow the family business.
Yeah, well, I didn't follow the family business either.
So. But I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And long story short, I landed in advertising. But I was on a different side of things. I was more on the media planning side of things for a couple of years, a few years, did three years, I guess.
Okay.
And I remember being there and I knew I was in the right industry, but I was not in the right office and not in the right position.
Sure.
So I loved the work that the agency was doing, but I would remember looking at the work and going, oh, well, I would have done it this way.
Yeah.
Or, wow, I wish I had done that. Or all of the things. I really loved the creative product coming out of the shops that I was working for. So did what I had to do, went back to school, and then started writing. And that was a good move for me, I think, because I just love that we get to create things out of thin air.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people do that in a lot of different industries, but for me, it's the combination of the learning part of the job. We do a lot of different things for a lot of different industries across a lot of different companies, big, small,
absolutely,
short and tall. And I love the learning part.
I like
of
that.
It.
I hadn't heard that one before.
What's
big,
that?
Big, tall, short. What was it? Big, tall. What'd you just say?
Large, small, big, and tall.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what I said.
Yeah, that was a good time.
I just made it up.
Somebody hit rewind.
And I love diving into different industries that I know that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
Let alone know anything about.
Yeah.
And learning. I think about a client that we've worked with over the years that owns a mine in Wyoming.
Yeah, Green River Basin, Wyoming.
In a prehistoric, an underground prehistoric lake bed.
That's exactly correct.
900 feet under the earth.
Yes, under the surface crust. Yeah.
The earth.
I remember we flew out there. We go out to the mine. I'm totally interrupting your story. And there's one main elevator to get down the 900 feet.
One way in and one way out.
And we all got our hard hats on and we're with like rough and tumble, like miners. I mean, like, I live in Wyoming.
Like real men.
Real people. Yeah. A lot of ladies.
Real men of genius.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of ladies that work at the mine too. And I remember like we looked at each other and we're like, what the F are we about to get into?
Yeah.
Like because you look down, the elevator shaft, the bottom was a grate, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And you could see down, but you couldn't see 900 feet down into the darkness. Like, what the F is about to happen down there, right? No. And just, oh my word, what are we about to experience?
You know, well, it felt like going on an awesome school field trip.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like a kid again, like, whoa, I'm getting to go explore something.
Yeah.
And I remember, and I think it was, so it's 900 feet down and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's like 13,000 square miles.
I couldn't tell you what it was. I mean, it's gigantic.
It's ginormous. It's a prehistoric lake bed and it's ginormous.
At the time we went down there, I know that they were mining with the room and pillar method and they still had 50 years worth of mining available. And there are three companies that had a lease on that prehistoric lake bed, I believe, right? So that was just their corner.
It's the world's largest soda ash mine.
Yeah, it's the world's largest natural soda ash mine, correct? Yes.
I remember going down there and I remember specifically when we were down there, just the enormity of the operation and then going into specifically the safe room, right? When
that place was nuts.
When the, you know what, hits the fan, this is where you go. And it was, had oxygen and food supplies and all of the things you would need. I don't remember how long you could stay in that room. But I remember it being literally the most quiet place I've ever been and the darkest place.
Yeah. They were like, everybody turn off your flashlights, turn off your little minor light on the front of your hard hat and whatever like that. And it is a level of darkness that is you can only be 900 feet under the earth to experience that level of darkness.
And so. And that was one of those kind of freeze frame moments for me, because I remember sitting there and thinking not only like, wow, this is scary, but also how did I get here?
Totally.
Like I'm at work right now. Yeah. This is my job and I'm working and I'm learning and all of these things. So, and then to resurface, come back to our creative cave here and, figure out how to take what we just learned and then communicate that to the people that we needed to communicate it to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you do that in an interesting way that's going to resonate in terms of the message or the concept or the idea or whatever. So for me, and that's just one example of, we've been on a lot of field trips.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of field trips.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the learning part of it. To me, that's fun. And then I also love the idea that, you know, once the assignment is given, I know something is going to happen.
I get to go
think and I get to work and I get to create and be silly and be serious and be all of the things.
Totally.
And then just kind of pull something out of my brain somewhere.
I will jump in here and say that I second that love of learning. I mean, if I was to pick one thing, if someone asked me, hey, what's the best part about your job? It would definitely be the learning factor. I can see my kids probably groaning right now, but the learning never ends. And the learning is for me, the coolest part of the job is, we flew out to Wyoming, went down to this mine, took a tour, you know, like went into the refinery, you know, like, I mean, and learned all these crazy statistics. I mean, you know, all about their entire operation, right? I mean, to the point where Union Pacific ran a line straight through the refinery. They fill 80 rail cars a day of this 365 days a year. I mean, you know, and so just learning all these really, really interesting aspects of all of what our clients do.
Right.
Right. That we would never be able to be exposed to if we weren't in the business we're in. Right. So, I mean, that's just one example, but it's, we know more about medical biologic clients than anybody who doesn't have a PhD should care to know about, right? In terms of non-rotational ligament fixation and shape memory polymers and how to repair the body and all this crazy stuff. I mean, you know, we obviously don't have medical degrees, but it's all about...
No, but we did stay at a Holiday Inn last night.
Correct. I believe I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, though.
Mm.
Dun, dun, dun. So, you know, the learning aspect is so super cool. It's, you know, even when we went and toured, we had a bakery client for a while, you know, and it was like, hey, here's how you make, you know, bread and pretzels and waffles on a commercial level. You know,
waffles were delicious.
Yeah.
Too.
And it's like, oh my God, here's like a 100-pound block of butter. Like, whoa. Remember that? You know what I mean? It's like here's a KitchenAid mixer that's like the size of this conference room.
Right.
You know, like, don't fall in the mixer. It's not a joke. Like, I mean, these, you know, like that type, you know, so the learning and the exposure to all of the different client needs. And again, to your point, the taking the tour and learning everything about them so that we can package up that communication vehicle right. for the appropriate target audiences. And we have to learn the nuances, you know, like alligator cracking in our parking lot, right? And, you know, learning all the different, you know, we had a an asphalt repair client for quite a long time, you know, and things like that, right? So it's the learning, I think, is the coolest part. My backup or my second answer, I guess, would be that lightning bolt strike of inspiration. That never gets old, right? Is when you get an assignment and then I don't know if it hits you in the shower, if it hits you in bed, it hits you at work, it hits you wherever, and you go, boom, like, oh my God.
I
know exactly what it is. And you scribble it down as fast as you can. And no one can understand either your notes or your drawings or whatever but you. And you just give it the little whatever. And you're like, I got it. You rush to the computer. You can't get it done fast enough. And then it's, hey, pencils down, everybody. I have totally crushed and, nailed that assignment.
Right.
And that's, you know, there's only been one logo project I can point to. We did a Nurses for Africa logo, which I believe is somewhere we can put it on the interwebs or whatever. It was an assignment. And that was, I think it might be the only time in my entire career where it was, okay, client, like, here it is.
Right.
This is your one, like,
here's your logo.
Yeah, here's your logo. I mean, like, full Paul Rand style, right? Boom. We are done here. Like, there are no alternates. There are no options. This is the perfect logo for the entire, like, this does everything you need to do. Won like a gajillion awards and, you know, not that we're into that kind of stuff, but, you know, it was that, so, you know, it doesn't happen every day, but it happens frequently enough to still get the juices flowing. And I love that lightning bolt inspiration of, boom, I totally nailed it, you know? Yeah. So
I also love the, I love first round creative presentations.
Yeah.
Because it's when you're proud of your ideas and you're excited to share them with clients. And we often say to clients, and we recognize, like, we're the most fun part of, this is the most fun part of their day.
Best meeting of the day.
Yeah. You get to look at pretty pictures and cool words and ideas and things.
And two incredibly handsome men.
And just it's distractingly handsome.
Yeah, I know.
I worry sometimes.
It takes away from the work.
Yeah.
Is that what you worry about?
Yeah,
I think the same thing.
I worry about, that's why sometimes I don't turn my camera on when we do a Zoom meeting, because I don't want to distract people.
It's too distracting.
Very distracting. Anyway, I distract myself.
I know, to the point where we don't even know what we're talking about anymore,
right.
Do we?
No.
So we get lost
but
in
I love
thought.
Those. I love that first round presentation because everybody's excited to see the work and you're proud of what you've done and to hear clients respond positively to multiple ideas. You know, that's when it's like, I don't know which one to pick. I love so many of these.
Oh my God. When we say there's an embarrassment of riches and there's no
wealth of creativity,
that is when we know we've crushed the meeting. But also, hey, it's a good problem to have where all of these, it's just different approaches as to how to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Right. And there's no, when you're in that position as a client, there's no wrong decisions because all of them will work, you know?
Right. So it's way more fun than presenting a flow chart.
Yeah.
I promise you.
We dabble in the world of Excel. I mean, we fill out a few little spreadsheets here and there.
I'm more of a numbers guy.
Sure. But thankfully, it's not the vast majority of our day by any stretch, right? So we are definitely fortunate in that, you know. We can put Excel away and pick up whatever this is. This is a Uniball Vision Fine Waterproof Pen, you know.
That's a good one.
I went specific. Instead of saying...
It's a 2016.
Instead of saying, you know, playing with crayons and whatnot, I tried to put a little bit of professional spin on it and say, hey, there's an actual pen here.
Yeah.
I don't know where this pen came from. I think it might be yours.
They changed the body design on that in 2016.
On this pen?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? Yeah. You're being ridiculous right now.
All right. Well, being ridiculous is part of what we do and it's super fun. So I think that'll bring us to closure. Maybe we'll do another one another day about...
This could be a two-parter.
A two-parter on the fun parts of running the business.
Do we ever do a third one about the worst part of our job? Or is that just too negative?
I'm not afraid of that.
Okay.
I'm not afraid of that.
Well, you started off today's podcast by saying how you frequently don't wear pants. So I don't know that you're afraid of anything.
I'm not. I'm really not.
Yeah, you're pretty bold.
I'm afraid of how handsome I am.
All right. All right. On that note, where can the people find us, Mr. Rob?
Well, if you happen to be traveling between Midtown and West Midtown, you can find us on 14th Street.
Yeah.
And feel free to come and ring the doorbell and bring us some treats.
Yeah. Well, you better bring the dogs some treats because they're going to bark at you.
Oh, yeah. They're going to bark at you.
Yeah.
Stop by for a cup of coffee and a chat if you like.
Yeah. Because we're not busy at all.
No. You can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com and, of course, on the socials at mocktheagency. And as always, feel free to drop us a line, share topics, feedback, thoughts, concerns, compliments, all that good stuff.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.